going to be a challenge to you, because I was saying that as you develop your relationship with people will directly, directly affect the relationship that you have with God. And so I was saying, if you don't forgive people, then chances are you're going to have issues with forgiving God. If you don't trust people, chances are you're going to have a problem trusting God. If you don't communicate with people, chances are you're going to have a problem communicating with God. And I was saying that everything that we do is based on how we develop relationships with people will then affect how we have our relationship with God. This isn't to say that you don't just trust everything willy-nilly. We do have a thing that God has given us called discernment. Amen? Yes. All right. So does that bring a little bit of peace to people?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But I was saying also that if you allow somebody to break your trust and that affect your entire life, that you're not going to live the fullness of life that God wants for you. And so I went on to say that as you have mistrust towards somebody, and you allow it to affect your relationship with others, you start to stack stones up and you build walls, and in turn you imprison yourself. Right? You guys remember that? And so I just wanted to continue on that line with a totally different word today. And I challenge you guys last week, start breaking down those walls. Take a stone away. Open yourself up to be a little bit vulnerable. Right? So moving on with that, today I want to talk to you about how God has covered you. The title of today's message is "You're Covered." Amen? Yeah, you're like that insurance company. You're covered. You're covered. Well, God is that insurance policy for us, for sure. He's covered us in so many ways that many times we don't even really understand how much he has covered us. Matter of fact, in the prayer room today, we were praying and we were talking about how God stops things in the heavenlies before they even happen to us, and we don't even know that they've been stopped. They're just all of a sudden, you're driving down the road. I always think of this a lot. You're driving down the road. Somebody's right on the other side of you coming the other way. You're only separated by 12 inches or so, but yet what keeps that person in the lane not from swerving into you? And just, I think every car that passes me is a blessing. That's a bigger way of thinking, I think, guys. You know, because we take things for granted. We take things for granted that somebody's going to, just like when you go out into your vehicle and you turn the key, you just take it for granted it's going to start. But you see, we need to have the same faith in God, the same strength in God in the same manner. So I normally don't start with a bunch of scriptures, but I want to start with a bunch of scriptures this morning so I can kind of lay a foundation of where I'm at and where I'm going to. And I will tell you, this message comes from a brother at the end of service last week who came up to me and said some things about forgiveness and trust are good, but how do you forget? And so this message is based on how we forget. Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just forget every bad thing that happened? Right? Does somebody want that pill? Well, I'm here to tell you today that God did not create us that way. Ooh, I'm just kind of laying a foundation here. But first and foremost, Psalms 32, verse 1. If you guys want to turn your Bible to that, we'll be going through a few Psalms and then heading into some other place. The handout that you have has the scriptures in case you want to follow along, because I'm going to go through these fairly quickly, but I just want to bring a foundation here. Title of today's message, "You're Covered." Psalm 32, 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." Amen? All right. So what is this, guys? It's a cell phone, right? Can you see it? All right. If I take the hanky and I do this, can you still see it? It's gone, right? It's been covered. Is the cell phone still there? Cell phone's still there, but the cell phone is covered. You can't see it. This is the grace of God. This is the grace of God that we all need to understand, is that because of Jesus Christ, sin that we've had in our life is there, but because of the grace, it's been covered. In other words, God doesn't look down and see the sin. He sees that it's covered over. He can no longer see it. Amen? This is building the foundation of forgiveness and forgetting and trust in our lives. All right? Next verse, Psalm 85:2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. It's just saying the same thing that I said. Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Are you seeing a theme? James 5:20, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Along the same line, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Amen. So, laying this foundation out, we're looking at some very key things here as where we are in life. You see, we were born into life as sinners. Amen? We were not redeemed. Because of Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed. And so we need to start seeing ourselves as new individuals. But again, as you see yourself, you now also need to see other people in the same light. So usually when somebody breaks our trust, it's because they may have sinned against us. Are you with me? Maybe they lied, or maybe they said something against you they shouldn't have said, or maybe they hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, right? And to us, that means they've sinned against us. But the same grace that was applied to us is the same grace we need to apply to people. In other words, God has covered our sin with what? Love. Grace is love. Grace is Jesus, and Jesus is love. God is love. Amen? He's covered us with that. So when somebody hurts us, we need to have the same foundation that God has laid out for us in the Word to then give to others as well. Right? This is why we were given the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in us, so that the things that Jesus did, we too can also do. That's why we have the exact replication of the power of God that lives in us. Amen? If you put your mind around it, it's pretty powerful. If you think of it in the ways that God has wrote it in the Word, pretty powerful. But if you think the way the world does, you will live the way the world does. I will forgive, but I won't forget. What if God did that to you? I will forgive, but I won't forget. What if God did that to you? But he didn't. He's totally wiped the slate clean because it's been covered and he's not looking at that anymore. And the reason he's not looking at it anymore is because he loves us. Amen? Love covers a multitude of sin. Two key words that are used a lot in these scriptures that I were given. Number one, forgiven. Number two, covered. But I want to talk to you about the whole forgetting aspect. If you've been a Christian a while, or maybe just a brand new Christian, but got the revelation that forgiveness is really good and forgiveness is for you, how many of you would say it's a lot easier to forgive people now? It's the more you do it, the easier it becomes, right? Forgiveness is almost like exercising a muscle. Right? The more you do it, the stronger you get at it. That's with forgiveness, and that's the same with trust. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable and you trust people first without them having to prove themselves trustworthy, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It's like building a muscle. So now we're stuck with this aspect of, now how do you, though, forget? Or should I say, let's not use the word forget. Let's use the word not think on. Are you with me? Are you with me? Not think on. Because the problem that we have as human beings isn't forgetting. The problem is that we start to think on things. Remember that word I talked about a month ago, or month or so ago, called perseverate? Perseverate is the word that you think on the same thing over and over again. We perseverate on things. It's just a fun word to say, I'm sorry. But we perseverate on things because, and then when we do so, that's what our life now involves. When I went to jump school in the Army, everybody was called Sergeant Airborne. Everything we did revolved around airborne. We had to run and start off with our cadence, airborne, airborne, all the way. Everything that we did, so that when it came time to jump out of an airplane, we had 3 weeks of a mind wash. Everything that we did involved that, so when the doors opened and you had to go out the airplane, you went. You just simply went because we were attuned, we were trained. Are you with me? But every time you live a life of unforgiveness, not trusting, not willing to forget, willing is a key word, not willing to forget, you're now training yourself to live in that miserable state. But when you train yourself to forgive, see, Stephen said, Lord, forgive them and lay it not to their account. You see, what happens is we forgive people, but we hold back on that, don't lay it to their account. You see, because when you say don't lay it to their account, you want them to be blessed, you want them to live, you want them to not get what they're paying for. But here's the reality behind this. When you say don't lay it to their account, you're set free. The reality is, and this is the way it is in life, if this phone represents sin and it's covered, God's not looking at it, but the sin still is there, and there's still in this life consequences to these sins, guys. So even though somebody does something wrong and it's covered by God, you still pay the consequence to the sin. So who gets freed when you say, Lord, don't even lay it to their account? You get freed, if you can catch that understanding. You're forgiving individuals so that you're not held prisoner. Amen? Because most of the time when you forgive somebody, they don't even know they did anything wrong. Right? My wife comes up, honey, I forgive you. I'm like, what the heck did I even do? What did I do? I made the bed this morning. I washed the dishes, shooed the chickens off the porch. What happened? But that's the reality. But she needed that because she didn't want to hold a burden against me, right? I'm just using that example because we have a perfect relationship. But anyways, in my study that I've done this past week, I don't see anywhere where we can forget permanently unless we have some sort of brain injury. I think that's very important. Matter of fact, there's a drug out there called Versed. I think another one's called chlorohydrate. With my nurses in here, is that right? Versed, chlorohydrate. These medications, when somebody receives them, they become consciously sedated. In other words, they're conscious, they can talk, and the doctor does whatever exam that needs to be done, whatever procedure that needs to be done, and all of a sudden you come out of it. The reality is you were awake, but you don't remember what happened whatsoever. But could you imagine if we walked around like that, not remembering anything, just in a state of, ugh? I mean, because that's literally it. Usually people that get like colonoscopies, they give them conscious sedation because they've got some tube stuck up their rectum. You know what I mean? I don't want to remember that. Thank God for the medication that the doctors have for that reason, but that's not how life really is. Amen? That's not how life really is. So God has given us the ability to remember things for a reason. And you're like, but Scripture talks about forgetting. Well, we'll get there. We'll talk about that here shortly. So, matter of fact, when it comes to remembering things, every time you remember something, it rewires and refires your mind, right? So, if you are thinking on the negative things, your mind is continually being rewired and refired with that. And all of a sudden you're wondering, why do I feel the way I do? Because I'm not here to tell you that when you think about negative things, you feel pretty negative in life, right? Does anybody enjoy that? No. Not one hand goes up. Hallelujah, right? So God has given us a way out of that. He's laid out some things that we should do. The only thing is, guys, is we need to apply those things, right? See, godly wisdom isn't just knowing the word. It's applying what you know, okay? And when you apply what you know, now you're stepping out in the wisdom that God has laid out for you.
Yes.
And I'm going to bring something real interesting at the end of this that kind of lays out that God's word is accurate, and scientists are trying to figure out things, but God has already figured it out, and it's really cool. All right, so we can't stop remembering things necessarily and just never remember them again, but we can choose to not think on those things. Are you with me? And that's exactly what God does. My son Jesus Christ died for you because I choose not to see the horrible things that you've done. Amen? And so when somebody does us wrong, we need to make the choice that we're not going to look at the horrible things that they've done wrong, so that we now don't put more barriers up in our life and we can be set free. Right? Right? It's healthy for us to not be in bondage. Last week I was saying that anytime you're in bondage, you're shackled. And anytime you're shackled, you're in prison because it restricts your movement. It restricts your ability to do things. Can you imagine trying to be the light of the world in the midst of darkness when you're in bondage? Right? My life is so horrible, it's all messed up. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but everything is doom and gloom. But come to Jesus because it's great. But yet your life represents misery. You've been set free, you just haven't applied the things that you need to keep the freedom. Amen? All right. So, if we sin, we will have consequences here, but the sin is covered by God's grace and forgiveness. Amen? It is covered just like Adam and Eve were covered in the garden. They sinned. They tried to fix their own sin. They got some leaves, put those on. God said, no, that's not good enough. And he covered them by sacrificing an animal and put skin over them, right? We look at the time of Passover and all the Jews in Egypt, they covered their doorposts with sacrificial blood of the lamb, and the death angel passed over all that had that done and afflicted everyone else. Are you with me? It's the same thing that Jesus' death on the cross has done now. That blood covering has covered us, so the death angel has passed over us now, and we are being set free. Here's the deal. Just as the children, the Jewish children in Egypt got set free, they went into the wilderness murmuring and complaining about, now, what'd you do? Take us out of that captivity where we had food and stuff at least, and you brought us out here into the desert to die? You see, they didn't appreciate the freedom they had. And so, if you can catch the parallel of this, God set them free and laid things. He laid the land, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. He set it out there for them. But instead of walking into the freedom that they had, they murmured and complained, and they never entered the promised land. Same thing today in the church. You've been set free. Jesus Christ has freed us. Amen? But if we murmur and complain about all the negative and the junk that's going on, we are not walking in the promised land and that freedom that's set before us. You with me? So we have to change how we see things. We have to change how we think about things. Can God look at sin? He can look at sin. Jesus Christ, if he's God, he put sin on him. Amen? But the thing is he doesn't want to be in the presence of sin. So that's why it's covered over us. And we don't have to worry about that. And we look at 1 John 1:7, and it says, but if we live in the light the same way that God is in the light, we have a relationship with each other. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from every sin. So here's a full package statement. The full package statement that forgiveness is based on, forgetting is based on, trust is based on, God's relationship with us and our relationship with God and others is the forgiveness that we have and the love that we have. You see, if we don't have love, then all the other stuff is just words. So a question you would have to ask yourself is, do you love yourself? Are you worthy? Do you need to carry this burden? If you love yourself, you're not going to carry the burden. If you love yourself, you're going to forgive others so that you are set free. If you love yourself and learn that it's important to love others and just sow love to others, you're not going to carry the burden of unforgiveness towards them, and not in the mindset of forgetting because you totally have forgot, but the mindset that you choose not to think on the things that the person that's done wrong to you has done. In that, you find true freedom. And true freedom is amazing. True freedom is a beautiful thing. True freedom allows us to move forward in life. God doesn't look at our sin, not because he can't, but because he chooses not to. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more." He's not looking at them, and he's not going to remember them because he loves us. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before." Now, that is a place in Scripture where the word forget comes into play. And we're like, and I've even said, you know, we need to forget the past. Here's the thing. Paul is choosing not to remember the things that he did as far as persecuting Christians, killing Christians, coming against Jesus Christ. He's purposely not remembering those things. Are you with me? Because he wants to purposely remember things that are far greater. Paul's laying aside everything that may distract him from being an effective Christian. He had something that he needed to forget or not think on. Who in here has something they need to forget or not think on? Yeah, I think everybody probably does. And I would challenge you right now to tell me any different, that when you start to think on those things, your life is not as blessed as it could be, right? It's not as blessed as it could be when you think on those things. But if you transform your mind and think on those things that are different than that, you have more freedom. Who's ever laid in bed at night because their mind was constantly thinking on something negative? Here's a question for you. Who stayed in bed thinking on those things that are constantly negative, right? It's like, I'm so tired. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get out of bed. And so you continue to think on those things. What you have to train yourself to do is, number one, realize you're not sleeping anyways. You may be tired, but you're not sleeping anyways. So here's what you need to do. Get up out of bed and do something different. Watch TV, put YouTube on, listen to Christian music or something, but you've got to train yourself to get your focus off of that and onto something else. The moment you get your focus onto something else, you remember no more. You're not thinking on it, right? Those are the things that we have to train on. Again, godly wisdom is putting into action what you know. And so we have to put into action these things. Philippians 4:8, and I'm closing in this section here. And this is a scripture, I think I use this scripture almost every time I preach. And it's not even my favorite scripture, but I use it almost every time I preach. That is how powerful this scripture is. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right. Keep your thoughts on whatever deserves praise. Keep your thoughts on things that are true. Keep your thoughts on honorable things, on fair things, on pure things, and on acceptable or commendable things." If we keep our thoughts on those things in those areas, then we're not thinking on the negative, right? Unforgiveness is negative. Not trusting people is negative. Not loving people is negative. Looking at all the wrongs that people have done is negative. Counting every action that someone's done against you and recalling them is negative. And when we do that, we're walking around kicking rocks and popping snot bubbles. My life's no good. Stop thinking on that. If you think that your life is no good, quit thinking that way. If you think your life is so tough and bad, quit thinking that way. What did I declare the very first Sunday in January? Best year ever. Amen? I don't care what it looks like. Start and keep declaring best year ever. If you don't declare best year ever, then you're going to look at all the things that aren't best. But you're God's best, and He gave God gave His best for you. He didn't give mediocre for you. He gave His Son for you. Why? Because you're worth it. You're worth it. So, this I thought was amazingly interesting, and this is where I close. At Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, a study intentionally looked at forgetting. And this is what they found. It cracks me up. I got so much joy when I read this study, man. I was like, are you kidding me? I don't know how much money they spent on this study. I don't know what lengths they went to make this study happen. All they had to do is get a free Gideon's Bible and they could have found the answer. But instead, they went to all these lengths. Scientists, here's the two strategies for forgetting. Number one, deliberately try to think on nothing. Isn't that cool? I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think on nothing, but I'm looking at the lights going, the lights are on. I mean, try to think on nothing. Try to think on nothing. Deliberately try to think on nothing. I think that's absurd. That is, I want everybody, let's take 5 seconds and think on nothing, okay? Not happening. Didn't even happen the first second. I can't even go to bed thinking on nothing. I'm always thinking on something. Why? Because we've been wired that way. We've been designed by God that way. Here's number two. Fill one's mind with thoughts about something very different. For example, if you don't want to think about the color blue, you think about the color green. Go green. That's what all the Spartan fans do. They don't think on the blue, they think on the green, right? Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going back. Hold on, I'm going back. Number one, deliberately try to think on nothing. Or number two, this is how you forget things, guys, science says. Fill your mind with thoughts about something very different. So then I go to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right, pure. Do you see what I'm getting at here, guys? Scripture has already laid out how we remember no more. It's laid out how we forget the things that we were thinking on. We simply don't meditate on the junk. If you want to meditate on junk, go for it. Your life will represent junk. That's a pretty harsh saying. That's a harsh saying, though, that right? But here's a reality. If everything you think about is, oh, man, this is rough, this is bad, this is not going to be good. Let me ask you this. Does anybody want somebody leading them that is going to be thinking about all the bad things that can possibly happen? No. Anybody want a pilot in an airplane that say, well, we're going to go to 33,000 feet today. It looks like it's pretty clear skies, but here's the deal. We're going to hit a whole lot of turbulence. It's going to be pretty rough. You're going to have to wear your seatbelts the entire time. I'm thinking, get me off this airplane. Get me off the airplane. Instead of thinking about, man, I'm going to be from Michigan to California in 4 hours. That's pretty cool. Instead, I'm going to be thinking about, man, I got 4 hours of hell of roughy bumpy, man. You know, it's how we think about things, guys. Think on the things that are good, just right, and noble. Anything of good report, meditate on that. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Jesus. Father, I am so grateful for the body of Christ, and I am thanking you right now for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has set us free. Father, the ability to have salvation has been given to everybody. I just need to accept it. Father, freedom that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ, has been given to everybody. We just need to accept it. Father, I pray right now that if anybody doesn't know you listening or that's here today, Father, that they would just come into a deep relationship with you, that they would lay down every weight that they have, everything that they've been carrying, all burdens, and they would just come to you and say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. Make me new. And Father, your word says that you forgive our sins. You cover them. You cover them with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're new. Father, I pray that each and every one of us can take the understanding of who we are in you and the newness that we have, and that we can walk out in confidence, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are victorious and not a victim any longer. Father, I pray that you would bless each and every one that is here today, those that are listening and that will listen, Father, for your word knows no boundaries. Father, it was all praise and glory that we say thank you for this day of life and this day of fellowship. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week and enjoy the warm weather.